from Los Angeles, it's the Life Changes Show.
Look at the bright lights. Look at the bright lights.
With tonight's guest, performer, musician, and composer, Christopher Caliendo.
Look at the night sky. Look at the night sky.
And musical guest, the flute doctor, John Barcelona. I am Mark Legere, and now your host, the MC, the master of change, Filippo Voltaggio.
Am I happy to be hosting this show with, well, there are a lot of special people in the studio today, but two people in particular, our guest and our musical guest. It's going to be grand. And actually, that just popped out of my mouth, but I'm not surprised that a word like that would pop out of my mouth when I'm talking about Christopher Caliendo. Now, I like to think of Christopher, I like to call Christopher Caliendo Cristoforo. He's Italian-American, as I am. And to me, he shows his passion in everything he does. And so I don't use the word grand lightly. The interesting thing is that there's a phrase that I hate, and the phrase is, the way somebody does anything is the way somebody does everything. And I hate it because I don't feel like I personally live up to the way I want to do everything. Now, that phrase to me applies to Christopher Caliendo so well, because this guy, when he cooks, the food is incredible, it's delicious, and it's abbondanza. Like, everybody leaves with food. They've eaten, and there's food left over. His music, people want more. They're not done when the concert's done. They hang around like, right, it's over already. They want to meet him. They want to meet our guest as well, John Barcelona, because the music just brought them in and held them there, and they're not done. And for myself as well, I've sung his music. Other people, we've all feel the same way, like, that went too fast, or that wasn't enough. So I went to his wedding. This guy writes the music for his wedding. You're from New York, right? Aren't you from New York?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I can say it. So he writes the music for his wedding. I mean, what kind of guy does that? And actually, John...
The guy in love.
And he's I can say this, he's his wife, and they're having a baby. He's already started to write music for the baby. But he's not only written for his baby to come and his wife for their wedding. He's written for the Pope of the world, the Pope, and he's written for the movies, like the big movies, Sony Pictures, and, you know, all of those stuff, Iron Horse, all these amazing pictures. He's written for TV. He's gotten awards. Los Angeles Times said the best bet is Christopher Caliendo. So if that's the way he does everything, then that's the way he does everything, even the way he dresses. And you're going to hear him today. The way he speaks, it's going to be grand. I promise you this when we come back with our guest, Christopher Caliendo, right after this.
True performance takes more than just working out. Every day we demand more from our body. But what does your body demand? Hunger is not your body's call for empty calories. It's your body asking for nutrients it's lacking. It's time to reward your body with Boku Superfood, made from the world's finest organic ingredients, vitamins, minerals, amino acids, and essential trace nutrients, all developed naturally and organically from nature's most nutrient-dense foods. Boku Superfood is quite possibly the best thing you can feed your body. So listen to your body. Reward it with pure, raw, beautiful food. Boku Superfood.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Marianne Williamson, Gary Anthony Williams, Sharon Stone, and Alex Gray on our archive page at lifechangesshow.com. Or you can visit us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. In just a moment, you will hear the man of which I speak. Mark, you've never heard me talk about anybody like that before, have you?
No, and for our listeners, I, you know, there isn't anyone in the studio that is sitting with their back to the entrance. and we had to back the microphones up so that Filippo could talk with his hands more. So this is going to be a great show.
I did use my hands. I don't always do that. I'm usually much more composed. But Christopher Caliendo is in the studio today. As a matter of fact, we're at Studio NoHo in North Hollywood. And when we told Brent Hahn, our engineer here at Studio NoHo, he said, oh, Christopher Caliendo, I know him. Well, of course, everybody in the industry knows Christopher Caliendo and his music. And it's exciting. It's exciting to have him here.
Well, just seeing your excitement is excitement enough. But so far, everything I've heard, and I can't wait for listeners to hear their music towards the end of the show. It's from hearing the sound check. It's amazing.
And this is the good news, because we've talked about this before, Christopher and I, that he brings a certain kind of expectation to everything he does. And what I really love about the subject we're going to be talking today, which is composing the symphony of your life, is it's part of a curriculum that he has for musicians and for composers and for artists. And this is expanding the conversation. Corporations are hiring him to give this talk. Obviously, they're not musicians or artists, but it's something that everybody needs to hear. So I think for the first time on radio, we get to have Christopher Caliendo.
My mother's smiling, Filippo.
Your mother's smiling.
Christopher, my mother's smiling.
I love that. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here. Filippo. So, Mark, thank you.
You're a performer, you're a composer, you're a teacher, you're a publisher. You've written symphonies, oratorios, and like I said, for films and TV, and like I said, your wedding, and now your son's birth.
Hmm.
You know, let's
imminent
just
birth.
Let's just start there for a moment.
Okay. Start at birth.
What are you writing? Yeah, let's start. What are you writing for your son's birth?
Yeah, it's an oratorio staged for narrator. Three vocalists you should be interested in.
Okay.
Eight woodwinds, four woodwinds in pairs, two flutes, two oboes, two clarinets, two bassoons, harp, two percussionists, full choir and strings. And it's based on seven of the Psalms of the 133 we have in the Bible. And my wife and I chose them very carefully. And five of them are fully orchestrated, four of them are fully orchestrated and ready to go. I have three more left, and I have 3 weeks left before he's born. So maybe one a week, and I'll finish it by the time you arrive.
Well, with everything else that you're doing, I wish you the best with that. Christopher, everything I said about you at the beginning, I don't know, did you know I felt that way about you?
Well, we worked on stage together.
Oh.
And I have to say, listening to you sing my music, yes, it communicates. I mean, God bless you, but yes, you are an easy person to, one resonates with, Filippo, you know.
Oh.
Could be your Italian genes, my friend. We wear our hearts on our sleeves, right?
Actually, this happened again, but you're of Italian descent, Mark's of Italian descent, of course I am, and John Barcelona, our flutist and musical guest,
That's right.
Who will be playing your music? So before we get into all that, here you are, You're born in simple means, and it's not like your son who's having music written for the birth of a king. You didn't have that fanfare growing up. What was it like growing up, actually?
I grew up in Queens, my initial years, and my dad was born in Brooklyn. Mom was born in Bologna, Italy. So our house was a very happy house. It was very small, and nine people lived in it for many years. My grandmother from Italy, her Mongoloid daughter, Lucia.
Mm.
And it was a very warm, happy home. My mother used to tell us, a tavola non si vecchio mai Cristoforo, a table no one grows old. It was our anthem. But, you know, in those Christian days, no birth control and Catholics, my father came back from the Korean War, married mom, and five kids later, he worked three jobs. So he was a very hardworking man, and he still is at 85 years old. He still walks 6 miles every morning. Very disciplined man. So I kind of grew up in a quasi-military household with a domestic Italian mother, cooking all three meals, cleaning the clothes, taking care and educating five children. But predominantly, that I think if the ingredients of my dad were communicated early on, they were discipline and an absolute love of music. My father wanted to be the musician.
Mm.
I'm the only son of five children. And as a result, my dad sort of flagshipped me and said, son, you are the spokesman for the family. I had to go to the war. My two brothers didn't, essentially. You have the means. You have the chance to go to school and become, make the last name famous. So pressure somewhat, but I was so in love with music. I didn't look at it as pressure, but just a way to augment my father's joys and fancies, I guess.
And he was able to enjoy it. He's able to enjoy it.
My dad enjoyed my musical upbringing and advent. Yeah, I'm self-taught. Really, a lot of people don't recognize this, but on guitar and on piano.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, my father was my first teacher.
Really?
And the story goes that I was 4 and a half when he handed me a small guitar and taught me the basic 1-4-5 chords. I rebuked it. I did not want anything to do with the guitar. 6 months later, my father put the guitar back in my lap, so I'll try once more. My father was a guitarist. And I had memorized the 1-4-5 chord, and he thought that was highly unusual.
Mm.
But it was that second introduction, and I was off and running. I never put it down. I never turned back. It was music, and that was it.
Well, listening to your music, as I was listening again to your rehearsal today, it's anything but 1-4-5. You took that and you did rebuke it.
Well, let's just say I added to it.
You added to it.
I added tango, gypsy, flamenco, farandola, yes.
Right. And yeah. So I'm glad you're going there because your family's Italian, but your styles are all over the place and they're mixed in together.
Correct.
So what happened?
Well, growing up with Italian minstrel music, the tarantella, as we know, and learning guitar through my dad. There are two vocabularies in the household that navigated my response to music. Opera, of course, Italian opera, and jazz. My father loved American jazz. Ah. He wanted to emulate Harry James, what young man didn't during those Depression years. And he still would pick up the trumpet and play a high C and put it down and go, my career's over. He was very funny that way. But those two ingredients kind of were ear training for me. But I loved the guitar. It's a folk music. It's a folk instrument. Mm. And I started to learn the minstrel music of my heritage, the Italians, and the American folk music of jazz. So it was obvious that in my early scratchings of music and when I started to hear music and started to write it down, that these influences really started to shape my personality at an early age. So those are the first two. And then there was a precocious or proclivity to learn tango. What does Argentine music sound like? Mm. And what is Cuba music? Where did the salsa come from? I was just fascinated, and I was off and running on. And I thought it was also the proper discipline for composers in general to learn, mimic, imitate the various musics of the world. Mm. And looking back in hindsight, it has literally created almost every opportunity I've had, both in film, in the different aspects of music making, whether it's stage, theatrical, or film. I could isolate a break that resulted from following that focused dream, which was world music on the acoustic guitar, and legitimizing the steel string guitar in the classical musical world.
Right. That was unique. Before you, had anybody done that? I mean, in classical music, a steel string guitar?
No one's asked me that question before, and I can't think of anyone that has. Now, of course, I had my guitar when Al Di Meola and Paco Lucia and Larry Carlton, Larry Coryell, when these people began to unplugged acoustic concerts, that's not what I'm talking about here.
Right.
I'm literally talking about, now thinking as a publisher, there's a niche there where the acoustic guitar hasn't had a voice.
Mm-hmm.
And what would it be like publishing music that sounds like inspired improvisation, world music, for classical musicians who are taught in very rigid, this is Mozart, this is Shostakovich, this is Brahms, Beethoven. And not that there's not flexibility in that, but let's just go with rigidity in that style. But the world musician, if you look at precocious children, gypsies, real gypsies, they're incredibly gifted very young, but it's a very improvisational speech, language.
Right.
And I was fascinated by this improvisational nature of music. And can you publish it? Can I write it? Can I publish it? So you reading the written note can sound like inspired improvisation and walk outside the periphery of classical rigidity. And that became my definitely life calling. No question.
So actually, you bring up a really good point before we go to break here. At ChristopherCaliendo.com, people can actually buy your music because there are schools all over the United States and the world, actually, that are bringing your music, buying your music, and bringing it into the school for flute and for guitar. I mean, what other?
All instruments.
All instruments.
Concert
okay.
band to string quartets to string orchestras to everything. Yeah. That's the fiduciary responsibility of the publisher, I think. But essentially now we started with flute. It was an incredible
Right. So when I first met you, that's what you were doing. So now it's the whole gamut.
Correct.
Wow. Well, more power to you. Well, they're another fine example. You do it a la grande. You do it in a grand way. When we come back, this course that you teach to university schools, I love it. How do you say it? The student wakes up after graduation and says,
what's next?
What's next? Yeah.
Who am I?
Exactly. All right. So
big issue today.
Yeah. Well, that's not the only issue. That people are waking up all the time going, what's next?
They're waking up sleepy.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. Okay. All right. So when we come back, this course that really can apply to so many people, and we too could learn how to write the symphonies of our life a la grande with Christopher Caliendo when we come back right after this.
Listen to these words. He would not be beat by forces too fierce for man, woman, or beast. As the going got tougher, his courage increased. It's a little story with a big message, a message that speaks to children of all ages. It's about believing in yourself, overcoming obstacles, and never giving up. It's been called a masterpiece, one of the finest children's books ever written, and a true children's classic. Shadow Stevens has been called Dr. Seuss for the 21st century. His big little book, The Big Galoot, is a story about bullying. Bullying has become an American epidemic, and The Big Galoot talks about it in a way that will touch the heart of a child of four and a grandfather of 104. It's the story of a little boy with size 42 hands, the biggest hands anyone has ever seen, and the kids laugh at him. Then the laughter turns mean. They mock him and trip him, and much worse. But throughout it all, Warren Galoot says, I'm a galoot, but I have good luck. You can't get me down. I never give up. A second grader named Chandler said, I thought it was the best funny book I have seen in my life. And we agree. Whoopi Goldberg said, this is a great story. Bravo, Shadow. The Big Galoot is available now as an ebook exclusively on Kindle Fire on Amazon for only $3.98. We strongly urge you to get it for your children, your children's children, or as a gift to yourself. Its message speaks to all of us. Have good luck and never give up. Go to Amazon.com and search for The Big Galoot by Shadow Stevens.
You are listening to The Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as The Green Children, Dan Millman, Hot Rod Fuller, and Mike Marino on our archive page at LifeChangesNetwork.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back. We are talking to Christopher Caliendo, who is a performer, a composer, a teacher, a publisher, and so much more, as I'm sure you've already come to know. If you want to know more about Christopher Caliendo, go to ChristopherCaliendo.com. I'll spell that out for you, even though it sounds self-explanatory to me. Christopher, as in Christopher, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-P-H-E-R, and Caliendo is C-A-L-I-E-N-D-O.com. I had a pause there because Caliendo actually means hot, right?
It does mean hot, and also could be traced to the 13th century Gregorian calendar when the hierarchy and the priesthood would discuss the holy days of obligation, and it may come from the Latin calends. So it's either calends or when Spain, obviously for 300 years, dominated southern Italy.
Sure.
And caliente could go to caliendo, sure.
Well, there it is.
There it is.
Okay, well, besides being hot, Christopher's course is very right on, I think, in what it aspires to do. And I loved where this is in the course syllabus. He says this course will not be taught as an onerous burden, but as a source of joy and personal power. Where do you come across as a teacher even thinking about teaching with joy and personal power? Who does that? Talk to me about that. Where does that come from?
Probably it comes from a very honest and transparent desire to be at this place in my life where its initial course took shape as a performer and then as a composer, and then into a need to publish my music with the advent of the computer, seeing an opportunity that worked sort of against the growing paradigm shifts where bankers, the agencies of music, the record companies of music, the publishers of music, were only grooming the up-and-coming, not grooming the up-and-coming, the already known. Mm-hmm. And we went through this because of economic reasons. And even Pavarotti, when he was interviewed later in life, and they asked, are there any more Luciano Pavarottis in the world? And he said, no, frankly. He says, today the tenor gets paid $3,000 for his debut, and then the agent wants $15,000. And then 25, and it's about the money. And of course, Pavarotti studied voice till he died. So with my respect to myself, I was very fortunate to have my music popularized through publishing. And then, of course, focusing on world music in classical universities as my base to create clients, I was then hired to teach master classes. There was a need for pedagogy. Well, can you help us teach these children world music? For flute choirs, for violin, piano, for clarinet and guitar, whatever arrangements I had made. That said, I began to sit and listen to students prepare and perform my music. These are high school to college. And that's when it hit me that, wow, they all sound the same. What's creating the automation process? What is happening with our musical institutions consistently enough that any type of original performance, and now you know as a performer, when you actually meet a performer, a great performer, a great meaning zoned, that instrument is a part of their body. You can't take the two away from each other. One is inseparable to the other. Is that an acquired skill? Can it be taught? These questions started to fuse in my mind, and I started thinking, can it be taught? How do we teach children today, early on, to access their original traits that ultimately can be surfaced, educated, modified, so early on they have a true consciousness, a true desire to understand themselves as a musician and what the creative force is, access it, and then follow all the other permutations, market them, salesmanship, business industry skill sets, all focused on their original chassis, how God makes them all unique and individualistic. But the architecture of school, you become part of a machination, of a process, and you become processed or homogenized. Your consciousness is not open. I don't blame the school system today, but I think many of the schools, music school systems, need to be completely revamped and revolutionized.
We talk about that. So
Christopher, listening to you, this flood of we're such big fans of music, the creative process, the return, hopefully, of it into just what you're saying, back into the educational system. But listening to you talk, I was getting this flood of emotion because I was thinking about, you know, going back, not to get biblical, but going back to the word and the creation, the vibration, and how music just was. It was a creative process. And I was thinking to myself, and I'm mapping it to what you just said, that you're reconnecting the creative process within these students, because music became, from its aboriginal state, into this a business, which then was separated, almost broken down into fractals. And it appears to me that you're reconnecting that as well as the creative process, which is amazing.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Mark. There certainly is a corresponding formula to what seems to be, I call them themes, which is nothing but aesthetic qualities that can be traced from childhood all through your growing years. But let's just, I spoke to Jackie Chan once, and a great example, and I said, Jackie, when I meet superstars who seem to tap into success in a phenomenal height, my curious question is, well, give me three different themes in your childhood that shaped who you are today. When you ask superstars, they can answer you very quickly. Jackie said, I was born into a Chinese acrobatic family. I developed my muscles early. Number two, The General. I saw Buster Keaton in the silent film The General, and I was completely taken by comedy. 1973, Bruce Lee. I was totally enraptured with Enter the Dragon. What do we have today? Comedy, martial arts, film star. He combined the themes into an original person. All three themes he was in love with. So he basically invested in things that he was joyous about. And when you're joyful, You communicate readily. People can sense that right away when you are dialed into who you are as a person. So I truly believe that my goal then is to come up with a course. How do we get to that chassis? Marie Curie discovered plutonium, but she focused on the prima materia, as she called it. St. John of the Cross, his theological, spiritual formula, if we use modern language, would be to get to the chassis of a car, not paint on the paint, but get rid of the paint and get to the structure. So I use a technique called sentence stem technique initially in the very nascent part of the course, and it deals with a series of sentence stems that tap into the consciousness to shape the artistic nature of the student. So if we weren't using musical terms, and I were to ask you, Mark, a sentence stem would be, if I added 5% more awareness to loving my mother, I would. So that's a classic sentence stem. It starts out with a hypothetical, it ends with a proactive, and then you're forced to answer. Now, the way the mind works is you don't take your time to answer. You answer quickly. Mm-hmm. You don't banter. This area, become insouciant. This is critical because if we choose to take our time to answer the question, we let all those demons that relax us to answer relatively irresponsible to our psyche. And it, in the beginning, I find
some program stuff comes in, right?
If correct.
We let the programs come
Assumptions
in.
Based on programming.
What we got off of TV or what we got off of watching Family Ties or what we think family's supposed to be. You're asking a specific question and you want it to come right now from your psyche.
Yeah. And in the beginning it's frustrating because it's sort of like sentence stem boot camp for these kids. They're not familiar with the technique. And in your first notion is to answer illiterate. But the more you do it, the more literate your answers become and deeply sophisticated. So musically, being responsible as a musician to me means. If I were to add 5% more awareness to marketing myself as a performer, I would.
Wow.
So Monday through Sunday, in the morning and in the evening. What's very fascinating about this is, as you know, our bodies are different every day. Chemically, the food we eat, the rest we have, the relationships we meet. Very important to do one sentence stem or many, but for a period of 7 days. And then you look backwards and you take the top three answers and those that consistently come up, and that's the answer. And the most wonderful thing about this sentence stem technique, and we do this for 2 weeks, is after 2 weeks, they suddenly look in the mirror and go, maybe I shouldn't be in music. Now, this is what our teachers should do. Our teachers today are because of the nature of music in the schools today, which is a terrible condition, is to make sure the classes are filled, guarantee their tenure, and have them in and out. But there seems to be a lack of focusing on how wonderful and endearing this one human being is. And also just, again, the nature of the programming. I mean, they are just inundated with architecture. They feel comfortable because, well, 4 years. Hopefully, we're in and out of this so-called prison. But there's no chance early on to tap into their identity. Now, I could.
Where their greatness could be, too.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I cannot. I was just talking to my dear friend Stephen Paris, who's with us today in the audience, director, writer, about Orson Welles. How do you account for a man at 26 directing Citizen Kane and being carte blanche to do it by RKO? Mm. How do you account for Leonard Bernstein at 14 years old, studying piano for the first time, and 10 years later he's conducting the New York Philharmonic? Tiepolo painted the 12 Apostles in 10 days. It takes 2 decades for Charles Darwin to write The Origin of Species. It takes Beethoven years to write a concerto. It takes Mozart, mythologically speaking, 2 hours or a couple of hours to write the overture to Don Giovanni before the premiere that night. Whether these myths are true or not, there's certainly enough reality there that art and its makeup is quite varied and different. But if you ask each one of these people, they can go back to childhood and say, you know, this became this. For me, my themes, jazz, acoustic guitar, Catholicism shaped a great influenced me. Food, we talked about cooking. I can't tell you how many times I used food consciously to network with people. Just if I can get them in the stomach, I can get them in the soul, you know. But the thing is, hey, I'll give you a more pointed answer to where we're going with this sentence.
You have a more poignant answer?
I have a more pointed answer. And it's, well, like, it's a young
you
girl.
You might have to save it until we come back.
Oh, that's okay.
Because I want to hear it, and I could sit here and listen to you all day. Because your points, I mean, it's one point after another. And I don't really want a point and answer, because it all is relevant. This is what makes you, you. And I remember you sitting at my house one day, and I don't remember if it was a party or something, but you asked me if you could, I don't think you even asked me. I think you just sat at the piano and you got everybody's attention. You say, picture this. And you painted this scene, like all of a sudden there in my house was this scene of a road or a dirt road with trees and the leaves are falling. And then you started playing.
Oh, I remember.
You remember?
I remember. It was an improvisation. Yeah.
And we were all just like, what? Whoa, what just happened? Happened. And we wanted to know the rest of the story like we do now. And we'll get a little bit more when we come back, actually. But that's one of the things that makes you you, and we love that about you. You want to learn more about Christopher Caliendo. You want to hear his music. You get to hear it a little bit later with our musical guest, John Barcelona. And the two of them are going to play some original Christopher Caliendo. But you can learn more about him at ChristopherCaliendo.com. Do you like how I said that? Caliendo? ChristopherCaliendo.com. We'll be right back after this.
There are self-help seminars costing thousands of dollars guaranteeing miraculous transformations. There are compelling speakers and life-changing weekend experiences where you can walk on fire. They all deliver revelations that guarantee you'll come back for the more expensive revelations filled with even greater wonder next month on Fiji. We get addicted to positive, heartfelt, expensive theater. What we really need is a jumpstart, an awakening. Someone who can give us a reminder that everything we need lies within. Through inspiration and practical knowledge, Dorothy Donahue helps people get grounded and motivated, inspired and energized. It's not just words and affirmations and the power of intention. It's a mindset brought about by a tangible, transcendental experience, an audio-visual, physical, spiritual experience that helps us realize we transform ourselves. We get tools to become the conscious co-creators of lives of unlimited potential. Find out more. Go to DorothyDonahue.com.
You are listening to the Life Changes Show, live from Studio NoHo on the BBS Radio Network. You can hear tonight's show and all our past shows, which include luminaries such as Mariel Hemingway, Shadow Stevens, Gary Zukav, and Kyle Cease, on our website at lifechangesshow.com. You can also follow us online via Twitter at Life Changes Show and at Facebook at The Life Changes Show.
We are back, and if you haven't noticed, we are talking with Christopher Caliendo, composer, musician, teacher, publisher, symphonic writer. You actually mentioned St. John of the Cross earlier as an example for something, and that's a great example for a lot of things, because that's one of the pieces that you wrote an oratorio for the Pope, right?
Yes.
That was a life-changing moment.
Oh, yes.
I'm sure.
Oh, tremendously.
I mean, who gets to do that?
That's a whole show, but yeah, that was, and I'll never forget it. I was actually traveling in Italy, and it was in Milano. Actually, I was very infatuated with the young lady, and I wanted to meet the parents. It didn't go well, so I went south and followed the invitation of Giorgio Gallo, a manager of musical events in Rome. And he, within a half an hour, I was in the Vatican meeting the John Vigilio Levi, a Jewish man turned Catholic, and the right-hand man of John Paul II, who commissions the sculptor, painting, and music for the Pope. And no American in 53 years had been commissioned for the Incontri di Musica Sacra Contemporanea Festivale. And
because they can't say it.
Because they can't say it, exactly. The Encounters of Sacred Contemporary Music. Sometimes I should think about an Italian show here. Anyway, 5 months later, I get the call, and they invited me to be the first American. And I chose St. Teresa of Avila, of the Carmelite 16th century. That was the first one. And then her contemporary is San Juan de Yepes, and his spiritual poetry just transformed my life. It was just actually probably that was the essential seeds beginning to develop for Composing Success, my motivational seminar.
Composing Success. What a great name for a motivational seminar.
Thank you.
And I actually think Composing the Symphony of Your Life is a great name for a show.
I like that too.
Now let's you had a story. Believe it or not, Christopher Caliendo had a story that if you could share that story quick enough, we'll get to what the course is more about.
But okay,
so
yeah,
the story.
We were talking about sentence stems, okay. and This is the result of a young lady in junior high school, and I'll never forget her. I was invited to provide Composing Success, a sort of 90-minute pitch. And this young Japanese lady was sandwiched between two men. And you can see everything when you're teaching a course. I mean, you can see all the – it's junior high school. So they're kind of making fun of her, and I can tell. She didn't have the courage to ask to participate in the Q&A afterwards. But sure enough, after it was done, she walked up to me and said, "Christopher, I'm really fascinated by these themes you're talking about. And I want you to know that I love piano. I love late 19th century romantic piano music. And I love the human mind. I love psychology." Hmm. So I said, "Have you ever thought of putting them all together?" Because that's the nature of the course. The sentence stems are access towards autonomy. That's the goal of the initial weeks of the course, is to make you autonomous. In other words, free your mind to hone in on those original traits that make you unique. Once we're there with those traits, then we combine them, like Jackie Chan did, as I told you. So here are her traits. Let's combine them. So instead of being traditional pianist, and traditionally, there are many of them. They get up, they perform a whole sonata, several sonatas. They take a bow. They don't communicate to the audience. They're off the stage. Mm-hmm. Suddenly, I said, "Well, you love research. You love studying. You love the human mind. Why don't you study the composers? And let's say Beethoven."
Oh, like the mind of the composer, or the
study his whole life, what he was going through at that time while he was composing this piece of music. Wow. Study all the extant letters
in
and,
a way
and
that
stories.
Only she can, because she's got the passion.
Exactly, mm-hmm. And she's got this love of psychology. Mm-hmm. And then instead of playing the whole work, feature sections or a movement, and then tell the audience. And all of a sudden, now you have a multimedia recital. It is a paradigm shift.
Brilliant.
Here. It's that left. Madonna does this so well. I mean, who has remarketed herself, repackaged herself better than Madonna? Mm-hmm. She just keeps herself current and going. So some people are very aware of it. Can it be taught? Can it be acquired? Can it be learned? And I think it can.
And
with
the answer
this course.
Is yes, yeah. With a course called Composing Success. So tell us a little bit about the course, and a little later we're going to hear what it did for you.
Yeah,
again,
initially we focus on sentence stem technique to unearth those traits that are unique and passionate. And then we have a session called Themata, where these themes, these resultant answers to these sentence stems are shared in the classroom, just to create a class forum. People are excited at this point. And then we combine these themes, and they start to think about who they are as a performer. And mm-hmm. It really changes them, because then they all of a sudden are making decisions like, what kind of music do I want to play? Mm-hmm. If I'm a composer, should I be a performer? Then they start to see the advantage of the composer being the performer. All these things begin surfacing. And then we launch into all these very practical industry sort of skill sets, starting with, when you're at college, the choice of the daytime job. Many, many kids unconsciously say, "Oh, it's cool, you know, I'll work at Starbucks, you know, I'll meet a lot of people." I'm generalizing here. Mm-hmm. But the more serious student, you can't learn everything in your college years, especially as a composer. Composers today have to be publishers. They have to be performers. They really have a lot of skill sets, the performer as well. The paradigm shifts with social media have forced us to take advantage of every man's created equal. I mean, these are democratic ideals, fantastic. Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and all these different means to communicate an accessible audience. So finding a daytime job, think more seriously about using it as an opportunity to add to your artistic mm-hmm. vision. Now that you have an idea of where their artistic vision is mm-hmm. and maybe where you're going with it,
yes.
What other skill sets can I acquire at a daytime job in conjunction with my schooling education mm-hmm. to really hone in and compel us and encourage and empower us?
Don't just make money. Learn something while you're doing
it. You got it. Absolutely.
Well, to supplement what you're really wanting to learn.
Yeah, and many kids do, and I'm proud of them. But essentially, many don't.
A lot of people don't think this way. This is why this is great to have this conversation.
Yeah, I think so. And then you see, maybe you want
to... You know, I wanted to add that, I may be pointing out the obvious, but for those that aren't drawing the connection, you know, for me, I was picturing, envisioning the idea of these themes and applying a note to each of these themes. And I think Philippe and I have talked many times about how we have various interests, and it's very difficult because people want to put you in a box. So you're talking about this girl and being, you know, interested in psychology and these other themes. And if each one of these themes is applied to a note, it's like playing only one note all the time, whereas what you're doing is now combining all of those notes, going again into the composing vernacular that you're using in allowing them to express themselves in this full body symphony.
Well, you know, you tapped into one. You said in the box. I think American life is so kinetic. We are almost forced into a box. And this whole idea of emulation is very dangerous. Now, it's not dangerous to emulate when you're very young. I want to write like Beethoven. I want to write like Stravinsky. Now, this compels the passions. But you have to cut the umbilical cord early on, because there is a Yo-Yo Ma, and he's original. Look what he's done. Study him. Study Sting. I mean, study the great pop music of your generation. And I guarantee you, all of those recordings are original. They don't follow the mold generally. Look at the Beatles. I mean, my goodness. But that's very, very good notion, because I think more and more, because of the American lifestyle and the pressures on us, we're thinking less and less originally. We're more form of a function. And we see it in the franchise mentality in Hollywood, you know, Spider-Man 10, Superman meet Batman. I mean, how much of this? And along comes a beautiful film that's quiet and dignified and European, perhaps, and makes you think. And there's no overproduced sound waves. And it really hits us. You know, it's like we become philosophical 30 seconds before we die. What are we going to remember? You know, are we going to remember going to McDonald's or going to Il Pistaio? You know, we're going to remember those cherished memories, you know. So that's a great notion. And the daytime job after that, you teach children the importance of networking in college. If you can't afford a CRM, Excel spreadsheet's free. Start to accrue all these different affiliations you have. They're not warm, they're hot leads. Mm. And you never know where they're going to go on after college. Mm. So you teach them Excel spreadsheets that can easily be exported into your future CRM.
That's awesome.
Very important. And then ultimately, as you see the classroom begin to get confident with themselves, they realize that all these early self-esteem exercises translate into how they're going to market themselves, how they're going to build their website, how they're going to use social media. And these are other elements. And then we look at the income streams. I ask composers. I was at a very auspicious school, very auspicious music school, conservatory. I sat in front of composers and said, "Tell me how to copyright your work." Silence. Mm. "Do you know where the 11 income streams are for a composer today?"
Mm.
Silence.
Mm.
What are we teaching these kids?
Mm.
Let me get this right. You're going to spend your childhood, years of teenagerhood, incredible amounts of money and time and effort and dedication, and you don't know the marketplace? You don't know where the income streams are? You don't know how to protect? You don't understand that what you have is intellectual copyright and it's extremely valuable? So I'm not saying this with every school, but you'd be so surprised how many schools.
Yeah.
These are basics, folks. But
I just read, actually this morning, Mark, you sent me something and then somebody else sent me something. It was a day of this. I got like three things of what we didn't learn in school. And it's not about music. It has nothing to do with music. It has to do with life, if we had learned this in school. So what you're saying, actually, it works to me on so many levels for me. And it also, like you said, there were the children who, or the students who, after taking your course, they realized that maybe I don't want to do music. The same applies the other way around. So now they can take the music that they learned and apply it to their teaching or to their doctor or something or whatever else. They could apply it there because there's something valuable here that they learned that they could bring into that career.
Yeah, it's really applicable, right, to most anything really, because we again, you know, I just opened up my music in a French store in often Paris. So the man calls me as we beginning to facilitate
the
his
guy,
order. The guy calls me from France, and he says, "Mr. Caliendo, your music is like sunshine to us in France. It's like Van Gogh. It's got colors." And I'm like, I'm in Brea, California. I don't get this every day at all. But that's the color shift we're talking about. That's when you're in tune with yourself and others are in tune with you. We're not really talking. Of course, we have to talk practically, fixed and variable costs. But boy, this is
there's
some connection there, I think, between your. If I was perhaps writing other types of music, I don't know. But I really am in love with world music. I'm in love with my childhood, and I bring my childhood with me wherever I go. And I've had many distractions along the way and many failures. Mm. But now that I'm looking back, and now that I'm consciously driven on this purpose. And it's the purpose of teaching now and sharing with the world, this world music that I do. It's been much more joyful and restorative for me.
Well, we're about to experience some of that joyful and restorative music.
When we
come back, we are going to hear you and your colleague of many years.
Many years.
And a man
God bless him.
well-known in his own right, John Barcelona, when we come back right after this.
The Life Changes Show is a premier radio show presented by the Life Changes Network, which is a company whose team has dedicated their lives not only to positive change, but to helping others observe and embrace, honor, and even celebrate their own changes, thus enabling a more positive, inspired life and helping to create a more positive and inspired world. From everyday people, celebrities, corporate giants, and children, we are here to help and to serve. With heart, integrity, and experience, we bring our message and positive intent into your lives through the Life Changes Show, LifeChangesNetwork.com, and through guest appearances on other inspiring shows and events. If you wish to learn more about Life Changes Life Coaching, a private consultation with one of us, corporate or live event appearances, or if you would like us to appear on your radio or TV shows, please email us at info@lifechangesnetwork.com.
Okay. You see, the are back, and all these Italians and Greek are talking in the studio. We're having a great time. We've been talking to Christopher Caliendo, ChristopherCaliendo.com. Actually, we're not done with him. This is a first for Life Changes. Our life is changing as we speak, as our guest transitions from guest to join our musical guest, who is John Barcelona. And Christopher Caliendo is going to be playing on the guitar. John is going to be playing on the flute. And together, they'll be playing Christopher Caliendo's music. Now, John Barcelona is well known in his own right. He, as Mark said earlier, he's known as the, what was it, the flute doctor, was it?
That's
okay,
it.
I just wanted to make sure I got that right. But he is a Grammy-nominated artist in his own right, and he's a freelance musician, but he's the professor of flute and the director of woodwind studies at California State University, Long Beach, which is a really big job. And you've been there many years. You also teach doctoral students at Claremont, right? Graduate
Correct.
University.
That's
so
right.
You're a busy guy. Thank you so much for bling here.
Yeah, it's great to bling here.
Well, you actually do bling. He's all blinged out. You've got this shirt that blings, and then you're known for your hats too, I guess, right? You've got caps of many colors.
Many colors.
Just real quickly, I have to ask you, how did you get into playing the flute of all the instruments, and why the flute?
Well, I was born in Los Angeles, and there used to be live television back in the late 40s and the early 50s, and there was a show called the Firestone Theater that it had live opera singers and a live orchestra. And at the end of the show, the orchestra would play instrumentally as they rolled the credits. And I could never wait until the camera panned on the flutes.
Really?
And then when I was in fourth grade in New York, the school band came to demonstrate, to get recruit people. The flute player, he stood up, and the light from the stage shone up and down the flute, and that was it.
Wow.
I was sold.
I haven't heard that story.
Wow. Well, I was just about to turn to you, Christopher, and say, did you see that passion? His hands went up, his eyes lit up, and how he described
initial
it?
Initial spark memory translated over many years.
That's a fine example of the course that we were just talking about, the composing.
You mean I passed?
Composing success.
Maybe we can recall those things, blings.
Bling one, bling two.
So there it is. And a lot of students don't know those answers, right? The music students, they don't know that answer that John just so brilliantly gave to us.
Yeah.
So helping them find if they had that. And if they didn't have that, maybe they shouldn't be here. Mm-hmm. But maybe they have that for something else. So this is brilliant. Thank you, John. That
sure.
was as if it was right on cue. And let me ask you, just between you and me, what do you think of Christopher's music?
Christopher who?
I knew he was going to say that.
Well, it's wonderful. I'm here playing it. No, it's absolutely
you've
wonderful.
Been playing it for years. You played it at his wedding.
I did.
For God's sakes.
I did, yes. We do many things together musically, and otherwise we're great friends, and it's the music that brought us together as friends.
Mm. That's beautiful. Well, the two of you make beautiful music together. Christopher, what are we going to hear first?
We're going to hear a piece called Jal, which in the Romani Gypsy tradition means journey. Interestingly enough.
Now, you all can't see the music, but if you saw it, there are dots everywhere.
So if I know Christopher,
it's gypsy music,
this is going to go fast. So it's called Jal, and it means what?
Journey.
It means journey. Oh, how perfect.
Yeah. For if you study your gypsies
life
from
life changes.
From England, they were the first ones to color wagons with bright colors. They were generally happy, and journeying was a very happy aspect. Gypsies borrow the land. And so the land's very important to them and vital to them, but they journey, and this captures the journeying spirit. In it, you're going to hear American jazz, gypsy jazz, and a little swing from John. And John's playing on a very special flute today.
John?
Maybe he'd like to.
Yes, this my flute has a glissando head joint, you know, glissando like a slide on a trombone.
Right.
So I have the ability to slide from note to note.
I heard that during rehearsal. I'm like, how is he doing that?
Yeah.
So that's unique to, did you develop that?
No, a friend of mine in New
I've
York,
never seen
Robert
that.
Dick did, and there's not many in existence. This is only number 34.
Wow. Well, this is a first for me. There it is. We're going to hear what it sounds like. And we're get to hear Jal.
Jal.
Oh, Jal.
Jal.
With Christopher
French.
Caliendo and at the guitar and John Barcelona at the flute.
Mr. Caliendo,
si,
we love your music. It's like sunshine to us.
Very good. To us, too.
It's like a Van Gogh.
It's like a Van Gogh.
Bright color.
But it is. Wow. Yeah, John, I have to ask you.
Yeah.
In order to accommodate that slide,
yes,
which is incredible, by the way,
That's
beautiful. The piece, of course, but never heard that. So... Mm. Is your flute longer than an average flute?
Yes, with the glissando head, if it's all the way pushed in, it's like a normal C flute. But when I extend it, it goes down a minor third.
And not every flute player can do that.
Well, not without a head joint like that, they can't. No.
Only 33 hours.
well done, Mark. Mark was listening.
All right.
Very good. All right. What do we get to hear now?
Caliente.
Caliente. Ah, really? Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, that definitely means hot.
Yes. And it's definitely fast.
And what do... okay, so it's fast.
It's
so
a samba.
It's samba. Okay.
It's a very fast samba.
Okay.
It's just pure samba. There's no other influences. It's South America.
And speaking of pure samba, there is pure delight in watching the two of you interact, play this music. I mean, interact and just from personally, but... The music, I mean, you all just come alive, the instrument, the music, everything you were talking about the course and finding that place for the people, it's right here.
Thank you.
It's right here in the studio. Studio No. Thank you to both of you.
Yeah.
So, Christopher, do you still have your trio, the Christopher Colindo Trio?
Very much so. Yeah. Matter of fact, we are being considered for touring on Live on Stage, which is a marvelous... it's the brainchild of a former Columbia artist manager who in 2002 saw the debacle of the performing arts arena and resurrected it by creating in rural America these various 300 to 500-seat concert halls where intimate music like this and dance could flourish. Well, so they architect a full tour. And so it's the artist, you know, today when you travel, it's hard to get compensated with one concert.
Yeah.
So they group them in threes or maybe more. So, you know, you can make a dollar and spread the joy of music.
That's exciting. And, you know, I haven't mentioned your CDs. And they're available at ChristopherColniendo.com.
Yeah,
right?
We're an all digital publisher and MP3. So everything is downloaded from the site. And yeah, it makes it available to the public at much less the price and very efficient.
And give us a couple of the names of the CDs.
The Caliendo Trio Volume 1 would be nice because it's with what you're hearing now with cello.
Okay.
And it really is, if we're really focusing on the world music, that would be Gypsy Americana would be another one, which is actually done with a Caliendo Trio as well with cello. Mm-hmm. Ardiente, Torbellino, or Tango, American Tangos,
right.
Flute and guitar.
Right.
Yeah. So, and there's a lot of soundtracks I've done that is available on the site that I own the rights to.
Yeah, actually, can we just mention, Iron Horse, can we just mention a couple of them?
I think my biggest break was Sony Pictures for Major Dundee. That was it was the first time in film history that a composer was hired to rescore an entire film.
Nice.
And there was a lot of controversy when I hit the trades, like the Hollywood Reporter and Variety, because one of the captions was, what's Caliendo going to do next? Rescore Gone with the Wind with a calypso beat. You know, it's good.
Okay. I like that idea.
But in the studio, I think more of my original work is for theatrical movies such as Footprints, which was directed by the gentleman in the studio today, Stephen Perros.
Yes.
It's a marvelous sojourn of a human being representing all human beings who come to Hollywood and sort of resurrect their memory through walking on Hollywood Boulevard.
Well,
and ultimately realizing that the day you stop trying is the day you stopped your dream.
Oh, that sounds like a whole show in
itself. It's Bradbury-esque. It's very metaphorical, but it's a challenge to score because I have to purposely guide you where the director wants me to guide the audience because it's all revelatory in the final seconds. It's where all the poetry comes to surface. So, anyway,
of course, you were up to the challenge. And
oh, I loved it.
You did a great job.
It was really interesting.
Okay, so we're about to hear...
Quick A.
We're about to hear... An A.
Okay.
Filippo does know what
that
means.
What are we going to play next, A?
Do you tune to A? I was just curious.
Are we tuned?
We're tuned. I think we are. We're in tune. We're in tune with ourselves, each other, and the music.
We're going to hear Christopher Caliendo playing Caliente on the guitar with, what's that?
In A.
In A. No, not in A.
It has. It's
an
A minor.
It is an A.
Minore.
A?
A minore.
And... with John Barcelona, the flute doctor. Oh, you guys, here they come. We'll be right back.
I think you wrote that just to see John do that.
I don't think you've ever played it that fast, man.
That's pretty fast.
Maya, you're 80 years old. You kicked.
80 years old? Are you serious?
No.
Wow, I must look sad.
No. Wow, okay, never mind. Whoa.
No, I think he's run 80 marathons.
Oh, he has.
71.
71, okay. Yeah. Is that your age or how many marathons you've run?
I'm 68.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, I mean, how many people can breathe like that?
It's incredible.
At any age.
Or I mean, it takes marathons to play the flute like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, really.
Amazing.
The two of you. You know what? I want you both to promise me when we're on television, you'll be back because I'd like to see you with the trio and dancers for that.
Oh, we'd love to.
The dancers for that.
We enjoy doing that a lot.
Yeah, but you have to play it faster.
Well, we have time to practice.
Okay, no, I'm just kidding. Wow, this has been very, very special. If we had fun like this in the studio every day, I could do this every day.
Every day.
I mean, no, we always have fun, but this has been.
No, you make it special with you, gentlemen.
Yes, thanks.
Thank you.
And thank you, Brent Hahn, for engineering.
Yes, thank you.
Two lovely ladies back there, Dar and.
Yes, of course, and Steve.
Steve Paris is here filming the whole thing for us. God bless him. Director, writer.
Thanks for being here with us. And Christopher Caliendo.
Thank you.
John Barcelona. On behalf of Dorothy Donahue and Mark Leger and myself, our engineer, Doug Newsome, I'm exhausted, actually. I'm breathing hard.
I'm going to do more marathons.
Yeah.
I'm going to go write some music if that's okay with you.
That'd be great. thank you all for being with us tonight on this very special show. If I just want to remind you, as your life changes, as ours just did, we're here for you. I'm Filippo Voltaggio saying ciao, everyone.
You have been listening to the Life Changes Show on the BBS Radio Network. Listen live every Monday night at 7 p.m. Pacific Time and visit us online at lifechangesnetwork.com, on Facebook at The Life Changes Show, and on Twitter at Life Changes Show. Join us again next week as we consciously explore and embrace the only constant, life changes. The Life Changes Network is an entertainment network. The views and opinions expressed are those of the guests and participants and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Life Changes.